All right, everybody, we are back 24 hours about until the draft. Can you feel it? Almost there. Here we are. So, I have been quite vocal, opinionated that I think it's plain and simple who the 49ers are going to take. There's been a little bit of Deacon going on the last couple weeks, obviously. The typical draft, you know, spin zone on who's going to go where, and rumors and smoke screens and all that stuff as far as like why we love the draft, right? But taking a deep breath, taking a step back, I'm going to rehash again as far as why I think Justin Fields is going to the 49ers at pick 3 tomorrow. So let's take a little trip down memory lane. Let's talk about Justin Fields. It kind of encapsulate the whole process and why I think Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have known who they are taking for, you know, since the day they made that trade up with Miami. So if you take it back, you know, I covered it in an earlier pod, but the kind of the history of Justin Fields, right? Dude was a blue chipper from the beginning. He was the MVP of the 2017 Elite 11 quarterback camp, which is obviously well known, very well documented, that the top arms in the country go to every year. MVP of the camp. So right there, put him on the map. He's probably already being highly recruited. Following year in 2018, he was on ESPN, the number one ranked player slash quarterback in the country. And that's ahead of Trevor Lawrence. I think it was 24/7 or one of the other recruiting sites had Lawrence 1 and Fields 2, but nonetheless, these guys were neck and neck all the way through. So Fields goes to Georgia. Jake Fromm from State Farm ends up getting the start over him. Georgia felt that going with the veteran quarterback was going to help them win now, so to speak. We know how that played out. It didn't. They lost to Alabama, and Justin Fields transferred. So Justin Fields ends up at Ohio State. Let's kind of just read the tea leaves, right? Let's go one by one as far as reasons why I think, you know, Kyle and him kind of have fallen in love, right? So production at Ohio State, while there, you know, he proceeds not to lose a regular season game in two seasons, right? He went on to the college football playoff both seasons, losing once to Clemson in 2019. And then obviously Alabama in 2020 in the national championship. When you kind of go through the list of like what you look for in the top players, right? Production. The dude's a human highlight reel, right? Ohio State pretty much rolled just about every week, put up massive numbers on offense. They always do, but the offense was just, you know, next level type stuff. In 2019, he was the Heisman runner-up. So they happened to run into a buzzsaw, you know, in the 2019 playoffs, lost to Clemson. Again, we talked about this, right? He demonstrated leadership. In my opinion, this was kind of the second quality that I think really draws among the production to Kyle Shanahan. When I talk about leadership, obviously, yes, leader at Ohio State, on the field, in the huddle, those kinds of things. But let's just call it what it is, right? The Big Ten doesn't play football this last year in COVID without Justin Fields. He was the guy when they kind of were holding back, not playing, that was rallying the commissioner, rallying the whole, you know, league, getting things filled out to, you know, petitions to play and signatures and all that. So without him really kickstarting that whole movement, the Big Ten doesn't play football, or at least not nearly enough to get them to the playoff. Why I think that's super important is Justin Fields is probably a top 10 pick, whether he played or didn't play last year. Talent-wise and everything else, it would have been a tougher evaluation, sure. But he didn't have to like go out there and play to like show that he's a top-flight player. He could have sat back and just said, you know, COVID and this and that, and, you know, kind of mailed it in. That was the complete opposite of what the guy did. So I give him all the credit, and I think that counts for something, right? You want somebody who's going to be in the building who loves football, who wants to play, and who wants to compete. He showed toughness, right? That's like the third quality that I think like really stood out for Shanahan if I had to get into his mind. You know, we've all seen it, right? You know, against Clemson, the dude just absolutely laid out. You know, I don't know if the injury ever came out, but pretty sure he broke a few ribs on that hit. He continued to go on and just absolutely shred Clemson after missing a couple series or something like that. and dominate with, I think, six touchdown passes. So the dude's obviously tough. The next week they went and got steamrolled by Bama. He obviously wasn't healed or anything like that, but the dude is tough as nails. Outside of production from Ohio State, the next thing that I think really people kind of overlook that I think for me is a huge deal as to why, again, this is going to come back to the 49ers. Familiarity with the coaching staff, right? This is a kid that Kyle and Mike McDaniel, who's now the offensive coordinator, and he's been Kyle's right-hand guy for years. They've known Justin Fields for a while now. Justin Fields attended Quarterback Collective, which is an elite like coaching camp. Sean McVay coaches there, Shanahan, Mike Shanahan, LaFleur, all those guys are there. There's pictures, right, of Fields and Shanahan at this camp, right? Like face-to-face, absolutely having conversations. So I think not only does Kyle know what this guy's like capable of, early on in his career talent-wise, but also like he's known who the kid is for 4, 5, 6 years now, right? He saw him early on. He's seen him through college. He got to like talk to him multiple times throughout the draft process. Like, I just think, Kyle, if it were me and I knew who this kid was, I'm probably not going to his pro day, right? Like, he knew at that point, like, who he was as a person and what he could do on the field. I don't think it was anything more than just to kind of reevaluate, look at it, just double check and kind of cross his T's to make sure that, like, yeah, this dude is coming ready to play. He's, preparing himself. He's working hard, all those things. So that's the first thing. The second thing when I'm talking about familiarity with the coaching staff and the organization, John Beck. So John Beck was a player for Kyle kind of back in the day, so to speak, with Washington. He's now a private quarterback coach that works and has been working with Justin Fields for months now. John Beck has said he's had multiple conversations with him. He has been almost implementing what Kyle wants in the drills and things like that. And so John Beck has been working with Fields. I know it's been documented that he's been working with Lance recently as well, but this dude has been working, again, for months with Justin Fields. So, in my opinion, when you look at the timelines and everything else, Kyle and John are making that trade a month ago with a guy in mind who they want to take, right? If John Beck is working with Justin Fields 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and is like, Kyle, this is the guy. This dude is elite. The timelines match up, right? If you look at some of the quotes that he's had, when Justin Fields walks out onto the field, he carries himself in a way that he's played for Ohio State. He's been the dude there for 2 years. He's played a national championship, and he's eyeing Super Bowls. You can tell his level of focus when he steps on the field. He's out to prove he's one of the best out there. So I just think some of his comments, like, he doesn't need to talk about Justin Fields, the player or the athlete, right? Like, we know who he is. Like, he's an elite prospect. I think some of those intangibles are the things that Kyle is looking for that, in addition to the injury thing, that he may not be getting from Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Kind of that alpha who's going to take charge in big moments and lead his team to not just, like, compete out on the field, but going to do everything in his power to win, right? To get it done. So I think some of those intangibles and some of those connections are not being talked about nearly as much. Again, I know it's been come out recently that Trey Lance has been working with John Beck and he's been putting him through drills. I think that's purely as the Niners have settled on Justin Fields and said, hey, John, can you work out Lance and make sure we're not missing something? Are we not seeing something, or do you still kind of reaffirm that Fields is our guy? So that's my opinion. In terms of, like, having the tools, we've talked about this, right? I talked about it a couple pods ago. 6'3", 230, ran a 4.43 40. Again, just dominated in college pretty much every single game but two. He had a few down games. People talk about, like, the Indiana game, I think it was. But for the most part, the guy didn't lose a game, right, except for the playoffs. So he can make every throw on the field, 68% completion percentage, so he's accurate. Like, the dude's a physical specimen. So when I look at it, and the last point that I would make, when have the Niners ever tipped their hand on the draft, right? So all the talk has been Mac Jones, Trey Lance now all of a sudden coming into it. It's down to those two, this and that. I think it's a major misdirection and like overcorrection as far as like people wanting to jump to this. Fans had no idea in 2017 that Solomon Thomas was like the guy, right? Like there was some speculation, but I went back and looked at mock drafts. 9 different players were mocked to them in 2017. With the third pick, or second pick, they moved back to 3. So you had Jamal Adams. You had a bunch of guys that people were talking about. So there was definitely no done deal. Like nothing leaked then. You had the second pick. Like you could have just leaked it, right? 2018. Same thing. There was a lot of guys that were mocked to him. Derwin James, Roquan Smith, like they go Mike McGlinchey. That, you know, there was that he was on the board, he was talked about, but it was definitely not like a shoot or a sure thing. Nick Bosa, obviously he was kind of the only lock, right? He was clearly the best non-quarterback in the draft, fell into their lap at 2 when the Cardinals took Kyler. And then last year, like Javon Kinlaw was talked about. You know, he was one of the D-tackles that was, like, elite. And with the Buckner move, like, it made a lot of sense. But the conversations leading up to the draft last year were all about, like, which one of the big three receivers are they going to take? Is it Lamb? Is it Judy? Is it Ruggs? And then Kyle and John spin out of Javon Kinlaw and Brandon Ayuk. Like, nobody mocked that. Nobody saw that coming. So, point being, I don't think like the obvious is in their nature, right? It doesn't make any sense at all to leak that Mac Jones or Trey Lance is your guy. The only thing I can see is that they are trying to drive up that value. So if Atlanta or somebody like that wants to move up a spot, they have some room and wiggle room to say, okay, we'll flip, you know, pick 3 and pick 4. You go up and get Trey Lance or whatever. And we'll go ahead and, you know, gladly move back one spot and we'll take Julio Jones with it. Like, that's the only thing I can see. There's just no reason to say it, right? And it's just oddly, you know, very odd that Justin Fields is the one guy who's been ranked right neck and neck with Trevor Lawrence, maybe not as a prospect, but as a player, for 2, 3, 4 years now. And he's the one guy the Niners aren't looking at. Seems a little bit suspicious. So I'm sticking to my guns. Happy to eat crow and take flack and everything from people on social media or on this page if I am wrong. I got to imagine if I am wrong, I hope, you know, Kyle drafts the right guy and 49ers win Super Bowl after Super Bowl. But I'm sticking by guns. I think it's Fields. That's where it's at. So let me know. Feel free to, you know, check me out on Twitter. I've been pretty active over there. Leave your comments in the section. Love interacting with people there. And then, yeah, go to my Twitter page, VinnyLevine29. I'm running a contest on there. If we can hit 100 retweets on the tweet that's pinned, I'm going to be giving away a jersey of the player who selected pick 3. So got to have the correct pick. But, yeah, let's see what you got. So till next time, talk to you later. Peace.